When we're hurt by the words or actions of another, we're tempted to retaliate and seek vengeance. Pastor Jeff says, leave it with the Lord.
God's justice is coming with vengeance, okay? Is God a just God? Yes. He will bring justice. And if not now, later. But he is a just God, and he will bring vengeance on those who are going and sowing to the flesh. And things will change in his time, not in ours. And sometimes we just have to trust God with the situation and what's happening and intercede and just say, Lord, help me to just trust you. It's not vengeance is mine, vengeance is yours. And you're going to bring sweet vengeance.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
I'm sure you've heard this line, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's meant to convey that children oftentimes show the qualities or talents of their parents. That certainly holds true for the king that we'll hear about today. His mother would counsel him to do wickedly, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Let's see what we can gather from all of this as we catch up with Pastor Jeff Johnson, here today on this edition of Sound Doctrine.
We're in 2 Chronicles, and we're continuing on chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 this evening, and it's kind of a two-part thing. We've already had the first part, chapter 21, and we're now entering into the second phase of what's going on here. Jehoram was blessed subtraction when he was taken out. It was a horrible thing, but I mean, this king just sowed to the flesh, and so because he sowed to the flesh, he reaped corruption big time. And so this is part two of the end of an evil reign, so to speak. Over in 21, look at verse 4, and it says, when Jehoram was risen up into the kingdom of his father. Notice what he did. He strengthened himself. How do you strengthen yourself? Well, you just lay all your brothers with the sword. You just kill everybody. And if there's princes around, you take them out too. That's what he did. That's how he strengthened himself. That's what he saw. I got to remove any kind of, you know, threats. And I don't want my brothers to be a threat. I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to be the king. I don't want anybody coming up. So he removed them all and destroyed them all. Very evil man who was taken out. And then as he leaves, all of a sudden we see that, oh, and let me add this too. Actually, it looked like David's seed would be snuffed out. Now, if you snuff out David's seed, you snuff out the seed that's bringing the Messiah. And there's all of them were dead. And but we know that God has that flickering light, and that's that promise and covenant. We'll talk about that as we move along. But it says in verse 1 now of chapter 22, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahijah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. He was the one that was left. He was the only one that survived the slaughter. And so now he becomes king. Now, what's interesting is over there in chapter 21, verse 17, it says, "And they came up to Judah and broke into it, carried away all the substance, and was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save..." And that this is Jehoahaz. Jehoahaz is the same as Ahaziah. Ahaziah is the same as Jehoahaz. Why? Because it's the same name. It's used throughout the scripture of the same man. Don't ask me why. There's actually two Jehorahams, and one was in the north and one was in the south at the same time. Can you imagine the confusion that brings? But they had popular names back there, and especially for kings and stuff, and they'd name them these very, very strange names. So he takes over, and what's interesting about this is that Jehoshaphat's sin is now coming within. Remember when we were looking at Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat was in the south, very peaceful, a man of God, seeking God, doing great things, and God was blessing. But then the king of the north invited him up there and wined and dined him. Remember that? And won him over, so to speak. And they had a compromise, and they got together and said, "Okay, now Ahab said to, you know, the king of Judah, let's fight together our enemy." Well, that was the beginning of a downfall. Whenever you are compromised, whenever you are unequally yoked, is danger. It'll catch up with you. It always does. And so that's why God warns against it. He warned the children of Israel, don't go into the people of that land and marry them. They do not love me. They will take you from me. And he was serious about that. It's the same way today, same way in the New Testament. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So that's just a fact. And now this is Jehoshaphat. Started this whole downhill slide, and now it's coming down towards Judah again, where Jehoshaphat was at one time a king. But now, Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son, had Ahaziah, and Ahaziah is now king. Verse 2, it says 40 in 2 years. It's actually 20 in 2 years, because if it's 40 in 2 years, that means he's twice as old as his father. So that didn't work, so you just got to change that. And if you go back into the Kings, you'll see that that's what it says. He reigned for 22 years old. He was reigning at the time. And he reigned for 1 year, very short reign. And it's kind of a co-reign, if you will. 1 year in Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem's in the south. The north is already going through it big time. It's already a done deal. And God is moving in these relationships. So, it says also, was Athaliah. Now, Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, was his mom. Now, check this out. She is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the two most wicked people in the north. Jezebel is the most wickedest person in the Bible, okay? And so she has a daughter. Did she corrupt her daughter? Yeah, big time. She even is more hated than Jezebel was. That's how evil this daughter is, okay? So this daughter is there. In verse 3, it says, he also walked in the way of the house of Ahab. So here's this king of the south now, Judah, supposedly the good place, the place where people seek the Lord, where people are godly, where people are in the temple worshiping. Well, this is not happening. This corruption happened to Ahaziah, and it entered into him because of his family, the other side, and it corrupted. And it says, not only was he of the house of Ahab, which is an evil house, but his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. What's that old thing? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Well, she rocked this guy's cradle, and she taught him everything evil that she could teach this guy. Wherefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Boy, you just sign your death certificate when you do that. That's it. It's So, oh, you're going to do evil. Yep, I'm going to do a whole bunch of it. Notice it says, in the sight of the Lord. God sees everything. God knows where we're at. God knows what we're doing. Who do you think you're snowing? Before him, everything is naked. We are naked before God. So that's, he sees everything that's going on in the home, everything that's going on between husband and wife and the children, everything. So we need to really, you know, allow the Spirit of the Lord to convict us, and so we might just repent, that we might call upon his name, that he might cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to walk close. We need to repent. And you know what? That takes a humble man or a humble woman to say, I'm sorry, and I'm blowing it in my life. And I need God's forgiveness. I've been doing evil in my walk. I've been blowing it. You know who you are. What a night to get it right. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. Again, mentioning that evil house. For they were his counselors. Who? Ahab? Jezebel? Well, when he was younger, Jezebel. And, you know, his mom, which was Jezebel's daughter, counseled him all the time. So they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Because when you get evil counsel, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And if you go that way, you're just setting yourself up for judgment. And that's what he's doing here. Now, what's interesting about this is I went back to, and you can just jot this down, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Here's an interesting situation. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, Paul writes, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. So Timothy, raised by his grandmother and his mother in the ways of the Lord. I don't know where dad is. Dad's probably not a believer. He's not even brought up. He didn't have an effect in his son's life. But grandma and mother did. Doesn't that encourage some mothers and grandmas here? You don't give up. You keep it on. But then it goes on and says over in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Gosh, the guy had it made. Raised by two godly women, poured into him God's love, his forgiveness, his grace. He saw it in their lives. They were witnesses to him. And from a child, they started really young reading him the scriptures. So when he grew older, that's all he had. That's all he knew was the word of God. And look at how God blessed Timothy at a young age to be a man of God. Not to despise his youth, Paul told him, but just go for it. Timothy, you were raised right. And now go for it and be a good pastor. And he was great. So look at the contrast there. It's bizarre. But it's the facts. So we need to take heed. We need to really intercede for our grandchildren, for our children, and cry out to God that he will help us be the best witnesses we can be to them. And when they're there, give them the best counsel. And to be careful what we say and what we don't say. I got 9 grandkids. You got to be real careful. And you got to be very discreet, but also very loving and very, very gentle. So he got the wrong counsel. He's on his way to destruction. Verse 5, he walked also after their counsel. So he figured, well, that must be the truth. They're telling me it's the truth. So I'm going to go and do what they say to do. And he went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel. See, here's this other Jehoram. See, the first one, king of Judah, got really wiped out. I mean, he got real bad. He was the first bad, well, actually, not the first, but he was one of the bad seeds in the family in the south. And he died a horrible death. But King Jehoram is here. He's Ahab's son. And the king of Israel to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians smote Joram. Joram is another one of Ahab's sons. So he got wounded in this battle. God's justice is coming with vengeance, okay? Is God a just God? Yes. He will bring justice. And if not now, later. But he is a just God, and he will bring vengeance on those who are going and sowing to the flesh. And things will change in his time, not in ours. And sometimes we just have to trust God with the situation and what's happening and intercede and just say, Lord, help me to just trust you. It's not vengeance is mine, vengeance is yours. And you're going to bring sweet vengeance. It's going to be godly, righteous vengeance. Vengeance is not good for the soul. In fact, it'll destroy you if you are vengeful. If you are saying, hey, I don't get back, I get even. You know, I mean, where's that in Scripture? Where's that in Jesus' teaching? Yeah, it's not there. We're to ask God to forgive us for any type of lashing out and going that way. And just take it from us. He will deliver us. He'll give us his love and take the vengeance away. Because that's cruel. It's bitter. It's a bitter thing to live with. And you will destroy your own soul with it. You'll wrestle. So verse 6, and he returned to be healed in Jezreel. So what did he do? He says, man, I got these wounds. I've got to lay down. I got to kick back. Because the wounds which were given him at Ramoth when he fought with Hazael, the king of Syria. So he's kicking back. Now, it says, and as Ariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. Now, isn't this kind of got so many names here. How do you weed through it? Well, you just have to realize that there's a son of the guy that really died a horrible death in chapter 21, and his name is Azariah. And then there's the other one, Jehoram, who is the son of Ahab, that evil man. And so they're going down to Jezreel because they wanted to see the sick son. And it says in verse 7, and the destruction of Ahaziah, interesting, the destruction of Ahaziah was of God. Why would the scripture say that? Because it's true. God brings destruction even in this day. Yes, there's judgment coming, but if someone continues to go against the flow of God's Spirit and continues to fight, sometimes they're just taken out. You mean you got a God that takes people out? Yeah. He judges. He's just. He'll take people out. I don't know what else to say. That's the truth. But he's loving, and he gives incredible grace. And he's looking, you know, for repentance and restoration because he's a good God. And he gives so much time. And he's been so patient with you. And yet you're still digging in. And you're still holding back. Why? Why are you on self-destruct? I mean, you'll destroy yourself eventually. But in this situation, if you go back to 2 Kings, there's your reading assignment for the end of this week. It's 2 Kings chapter 9. And get the whole story about what went on here. Because it really gets in detail, okay? So the destruction of Ahaziah was of God. By coming to Joram. Okay, so here they are. They're on their journey to see him. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu. Now, Jehu comes into the scene here. He is Jehoshaphat's son. one of Jehoshaphat's sons, and whom, it says, the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. You see, when things got bad with Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and then God dealt with Ahab, God put a hit out on Ahab. And he assigned a guy saying, I want you to go and take him out. You mean God's the Godfather? Yes. You can't get away with it and continue on. Sometimes God just puts a stop to it. It's done. It's over. Wow, that's to fall into the hands of an angry God. Think about that. When he's angry. Oh, I don't want it. I don't want it. Don't need it. Why be so rebellious? But here's this guy. He's the assassin. He's going for Ahab and his family. Okay? Actually, there's 42 more that are going to die after we see what he does here in this chapter. 42 more will die.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine, and he'll be back with more from 2 Chronicles. Hey, would you like today's study from 2 Chronicles on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free. 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I'd also like to mention you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we also have an app, and that is a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, it's back to school time, so we thought it might be helpful, as a parent, to offer you a series on parent-child relationships. In this four-part series, Pastor Jeff shares his personal testimony, including how he and his wife applied biblical truths in raising their children. Request the Parent-Child Relationships four-part series on CD or on a thumb drive when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or, again, call 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. And as we go through God's Word one verse at a time, we're looking to our listeners for help to pay for radio time. Together we can reach people with the love and truth of Christ that makes a difference. You can make a secure donation online, sounddoctrineradio.org, or by calling 800-353-7553. We'd love to hear from you, even if it's a quick hello telling us where you listen. Let us know how we can pray for you as well. Email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Well, we left off in 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 8 a moment ago. Here's Pastor Jeff to close things out.
Now, verse 8, I want you to know, Jehu did not know that the leadership of Judah would be where he was going, and that they were going to be there at that place. Now, let me go back to the New Testament for a moment, because I have to share with you about what God did with it, as far as our government and, you know, just what about policemen? What about these guys that go around here with a gun and they're there to settle things. They're there to keep the law. You know, what about these guys? Well, write it down. You know, in Romans 13, verse 1, God says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, when they got a gun, that's a higher power, right? For there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. So whatever power is going on in this nation or around our city is ordained of God. God set them there. What? Well, he goes on, whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. because God set up the laws and the rules. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And then he says in verse 4, for he, talking about the police officer, the soldier, he is the minister of God to thee for good. He's there because he wants to see things done decent and in order. Because he's there because he's ordained of God. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, very afraid. That's why you look in the rearview mirror all the time.
Pastor Jeff will finish up his message called This Little Light next time on Sound Doctrine, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel, Downey.